Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up? Well, I'll tell you this on a positive note. Curtis is less angry at those at the Boston Red Sox than I thought he would be when I walked in here this morning.
There are some days where people reveal themselves. And, you know, pour one out for Will Fleming on X. That's really sad. I'm going to have a rough day.
What? Did Will leave X?
Yep. Sure,
really?
Mm. Yeah. Well, he got mad at people for taking his prediction or prognostication, informed opinion, and running with it.
Well, it can be very vitriolic.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Yeah. So my thing that I'll never understand, if somebody tells you something, and it says, you know, everybody's going to be getting a $1,000 bonus tomorrow.
Okay.
And you go around and tell all these people that they're going to get a $1,000 bonus, and the bonus doesn't come, and they get mad at you. Wouldn't you be mad at the person that lied to you, not at the people that you told they were getting $1,000?
Yes, I think that's who I would direct my anger at.
Yeah,
once
I mean, are we getting a $1,000 bonus?
One's paying his check. Come on.
But you can't do the victory lap when Devers gets traded, saying, I said something was brewing, and then go tail between your legs and leave the app. Like, I am done criticizing the Red Sox. My opinion on them is firmly established. My issue is with Jermaine Wiggins. Issue is with Will Fleming.
Yep.
My issue is with Jared Karabas or Lou Maloney or any one of the people that cover the team.
The water carriers is what you're saying.
The people that get enraged at Red Sox fans for wanting the team to be better.
Now, I put my water down, man. They fumbled the bag on this one.
Okay.
Well, they did fumble the bag.
Big time.
I don't understand how you don't end up with Pete Alonso on this baseball team.
Yeah.
And it's just money. And it's so obvious, like, that you're waiting around and hoping that you're going to get some kind of a bargain on guys. And all you do is leave yourself right now. They're in a worse position than they were at the end of the season.
Yeah, you can't find a lineman.
Like, you got to hope that Bregman wants to come back.
But if Bregman comes back, you still ass out.
It's not enough. If Bregman comes back, it's not enough.
It's just, I don't understand. Like, you know that somebody else is going to pay for these guys. In this case, it's the Baltimore Orioles, and they're in your division. So
back to last year, right? The Soto pursuit and how the deal was consummated when the Red Sox were at a dinner nearby to Scott Boras out in the West Coast. They weren't even one of the semifinalists. And they had that whole song and dance about Ortiz flying out doing the PowerPoint presentation about playing in Boston. Like, they don't care. Like, I don't know how many ways I have to say it and how many ways I can. The Red Sox are no longer the Boston Red Sox that you came to know and love. That's just it. What 30? It's the years or the money. So they were under $30 million a year and under 5 years for Pete Alonso.
They had to be because do you think Pete Alonso, if he had his druthers, would prefer to be in Boston or would prefer to be in Baltimore?
Boston.
Like,
Boston.
His wife is from Quincy, for crying out loud.
The Wire is a good show.
Like, born and raised.
Right.
So
you knew what the market was. Like, if you're the Red Sox, you know exactly what the market, because Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber are basically identical. And once Schwarber signed that deal, like, you know exactly what the market is. Like, if you want a real shot at Pete Alonso, you're going to have to give him 5 years, 150. If there's a team that might have to go a little bit more than that, where it seems like Baltimore went to 5 years, 155. Like, all right, you know what the market is going to be. And so the Red Sox, yeah, they definitely fumbled the bag. And so, there's nothing that Brezbach can do.
What does it leave you? What does it leave Red Sox fans with as an option? Marte or something like that, Curtis?
Yeah,
like, is that what now they're whispering to everybody that they're in on Marte?
Good morning.
There's no option, because I heard Jones and Keefe talking about this yesterday. There's not another bat out there that is, you know, free agent bat that's going to hit you, you know, 40-plus home runs. Because even with the Marte, even with the Bo Bichette.
I had 28 taters last year. Like, that's not the same thing.
That's what Scheim had last night.
So, and if you were Brezbach.
He doesn't eat his own, though. I mean, that's a clear indication of how bad they are if the cook doesn't eat. You know what I mean, Scheim?
I get you, Greg. You don't want to eat stuff you spackle on the wall.
Yeah. Never trust a skinny chef. But the thing that is, like, I hate that I have been right, because I like the Red Sox. I grew up loving the Red Sox. I want them to be good. It's beneficial to this radio station if the Red Sox are good. But it's not just that they don't care. It's that John Henry is using the hard-earned money of the people of this region to create a salary cap whereby that money goes to other teams and he doesn't have to spend as much, so he can create better organizations in Liverpool, in Pittsburgh with the Penguins, with his Roush Fenway nonsense, with LeBron James. This is why he wants a salary cap. And I said at the beginning, there's no way that John Henry is going to be the leading owner and telling other owners they have to curb spending and then be spending at the top of the market. It
Correct.
Just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody listens.
There's no, and there's nothing the bot can do, because he said he wanted a power bat, and that's what they were saying that they were going to focus on this offseason.
Well, the bot could do whatever the bot wants to do. Like, I don't buy that excuse. Like, I if he doesn't end up delivering, he's going to be gone. Like,
look, he was the 11th guy that interviewed. Why do you think the other 10 turned it down?
No, what I'm saying is there's nothing.
Look at Chaim Bloom.
Yeah.
I mean, Chaim Bloom came in here.
Mm-hmm.
It did the bad work, the dirty work for him.
Mm-hmm.
Steely Dan rejoined, perhaps. When it came to Mookie, and did what they wanted, and then they shipped him out of here. So same thing's gonna happen to Breslow.
Yeah,
And they're so close. Like, they were so. And Curtis, you bring up the fans. You suffer through the last whatever it was, 3-4 seasons since 2021 with them. The fans suffer through it with them, and then they're right there after last season.
Right.
Right there.
Right.
With a promising bunch of young guys who you just need to add to.
Right.
You just need to add a bat to.
Right.
And they're not willing to write the check.
But it's not only not willing to write the check, it is the only thing that they are elite at is gaslighting. Like, it'd be one thing if we heard, you know, if everything works out, maybe they'd come in and be like a mystery team on Alonso. It's that they're telling you well in advance that they want to sign these guys. And I hate to do it, but yesterday I said that John Henry is going out there telling fans that they're going to spend and do all these things, when Sam Kennedy told us they wouldn't do that because it's a competitive disadvantage, which told you right then and there that they weren't going to spend. It was just to get to the fans to maybe buy some tickets before Christmas so that they don't get disappointed.
Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Oh, those boo birds are going to be even louder.
Very loud.
Yeah. Good morning. And we got a lot to get to.
Oh, yeah, man.
On today's show, it's a Bruins Thursday, and Judd Surratt will join us at 8:20, 8:30, is that when normally we speak with the voice of the Boston Bruins on SNS? Yes. All right. Bruins Thursday here. By the way, kudos for Wiggy from everyday listener of the show, our pal John Jakes, Jakesy, who said you actually had a great hockey question.
I appreciate that.
For Jeremy Swayman yesterday on the show. So
I appreciate that.
Did you do it yourself or was it ChatGPT?
No, no, I did that one myself.
You did it yourself.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple in recent interviews here. Great questions. So,
oh, really?
You know, so it's a building block. Howard Stern said, hey, listen, great questions aren't built overnight.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's the best when it comes to that. So.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I appreciate that.
Great question. So Bruins Thursday, Jets are out. Before that, obviously, our leads coming up in about 10 minutes. They set it at 7:20, and we will definitely discuss the concerns that Grandpa Rivers has as he prepares to get under center in the NFL. And that was very interesting yesterday.
Wow.
Are we going to cover college football coaches who can't keep it in their pants?
That thing took a turn.
What a wild story.
That is terrible.
QB under the tree coming up at 7:30 this morning as we get closer and closer to Christmas. So our gift to you and autographed football at 7:30 on this morning show. The news with Courtney at 7:45. Cancel all of your plans this weekend because the super flu is here. And we'll get an update from Courtney on that and Hill Notes at 9:20 or 9:30 this morning. So plenty of time to leave a voice note on any topic for us on the Odyssey app. But right now, here's Courtney and what is trending first thing this morning.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And just a quick update on my Christmas card that I gave to Wiggy. Today it's on my desk.
So it's back. I had it over here.
All right, loud and clear. Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Celtics are back in action tonight. They're in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. Tip is set for 8. The Bruins are in Winnipeg to take on the Jets at the same exact time. So that's an 8 o'clock puck drop. Thursday Night Football, we'll see the Falcons at Bucks. Kickoff at 8:15. Now, in college football, things have gone from bad to worse for ex-coach Sherrone Moore, who was fired yesterday afternoon due to engaging in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. He was then arrested after an alleged assault investigation that took place earlier in the afternoon yesterday. There are a lot of things on social media that are talking about what happened, what led up to this arrest. But very, very sad, scary story when it comes to what's going on there.
Are they going to have to pay him out?
No.
He has the morals clause.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think that's the way they were able to get out of this contract.
Yep. Over to baseball, we've been talking about already this morning. Pete Alonso is heading to Baltimore on a 5-year, $155 million contract. According to Tim Healy of the Globe, the Sox offer to Alonso was for fewer years and significantly less money.
Significantly less money.
Yes.
Fumbled the bag on that one.
It's not fumbling the bag. It was their plan all along. A fumble means you're trying to get a first down and the ball comes out.
And Curtis was warning us the entire time.
Like, how many times do they have to do this?
Well, they keep doing it to us. We're the suckers for it.
Well, you are. I'm not.
I mean, there's a sucker born every night, my mother used to say.
I read that. Guess it was actually my fortune cookie.
You know?
You are one.
I am one.
You have a big, gigantic sucker written all over you.
Yeah. And then put the A at the end. It's not even the ER. So, you know, now it's like, oh, man, you a real sucker.
You going to burn any of that merch that Sam Kennedy gave
you? No, I won't burn. I'll still rock it, but I'll be like, God damn, bro. I'm holding on, but I can't listen, man. I can't keep carrying the water.
You going to refuse tickets this summer?
No, I'll be at the Sox games.
When those are offered?
Nope.
No.
Especially if they're right behind the home plate. I'll be there with a Kool-Aid smile and a Red Sox hat.
Did you see the new sponsor of the Monster Grape?
Yeah. No.
Ocean State Job Lot. I thought that was...
Well, that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Tender USDA choice sirloin steak is on sale at Shaw's and Star Market. Value pack beef petite sirloin steak or beef eye of round roast is just $4.97 a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 2 per customer. Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got our leads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, and before we get to Lou Maloney, it is time for the play call that you'll need tomorrow morning, Greg Hill Show, 7:30. For our next QB Under the Tree giveaway. And today's play call is Switch 14. That's Switch 14, Ted Johnson. You like that play call?
Never, not once have I heard that ever called, ever. So I don't know who's come up with these play calls. I've never heard of any of them. But that's a different deal, so it doesn't matter.
All right, let's go to the guest line where our guy Lou Maloney joins us from Florida. Mr. Maloney, how we doing?
Well, I'm starting to drink heavily.
There you go.
Yeah, me too.
There's our Lou.
Most of you getting that plane ride home and just a quiet winter meeting. You always hope it's kind of get some action. I thought maybe there was because there was some coming into it, but not much going on, especially in the Red Sox end.
Just to put a bunch of nips in that carry-on. You'll be just fine.
Yep, you'll feel better soon. But I think you and I shared a brain the other day on Twitter. It was Schwarber goes back to Philly, and it's like, okay, this is fine. It's just Alonzo or bust. Well, now it's not Alonzo, so what does bust look like?
Yeah, it's the minute he found out Baltimore like offered Schwarber, basically matched what he went to Philly, he just said, well, there's your market for Alonzo.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they went, so they're going to offer that to Schwarber. Why won't they offer that to Alonzo? And basically it was. They gave him $5 more million. So, I don't know. You know, listen, I wanted one of those two guys because obviously it's instant power tool. But, you know, is it bust after that? Like, you know, there's still some players here that you can add. You can add a couple of bats to kind of improve this top and middle of the order that can make you a good baseball team. You don't have that elite tool of power. Those are those two guys. The other guy is Gino Suarez. I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you. I know he's got potential, but it's not consistent. There's a ton of strikeouts. He doesn't play a position. So for me now, I just sort of look back to, I want Alex Bregman. You know, I want defense. I want contact. I want 20 to 25 home run potential. I want to find the same thing at first and go from there.
Lou, going back to Pete Alonso, just real quick, you said, you know, kind of the Schwarber kind of set the market for Pete. And so it was a pretty simple kind of contract to get done with Pete if he wanted it. But reports are that they went way under what Pete Alonso actually got. So the two things that come to mind for me is, well, did they really want the guy if they severely kind of underbid, or did they completely misread the market? What is it, one of those things to you that happened there?
Yeah, I think the Red Sox sort of, yeah, you're right. It's one of those things. Yeah, we like the player. Well, obviously not enough.
Right.
Like, and this is part of the whole thing of getting uncomfortable. Do we think 4 years, $100 million is probably what he's worth because he is probably a DH? But, you know, that's great. You can think that. But if that's the case, then you really don't want him because that's not going to come close to getting it done, you know. So it's like, yeah, it was funny. I talked to somebody else from New York, and they were just kind of talking about him. It's like, you know, he's a DH, and the Yankees kind of, I mean, the Mets rather, they're not bringing him back. I'm like, what does that say? You know, because he does have 45 homers in that lineup. Why wouldn't they bring him back? And he's like, I just don't see Craig Breslow giving a one-dimensional guy who doesn't run, play defense, he hits home runs, $30 million for five. And I'm like, well, that's what it's going to take. And it was. And they just they weren't willing to go there. So do I know what the plans are? No. Does anybody know what the plans are? No. Because it's a very small circle of trust in that GM room of Craig Breslow. And so that's why these reports that come out, I don't believe any of them, because I think they're all coming from other teams or agents.
Which is crazy, but, you know, that is what it is. So, Lou, what about Bregman?
Yeah.
Seems like there was that talk that maybe they'd be able to bring him back. And then last week, I believe, there was the report. They've now shifted focus. He's their number one priority. Do you think there's any more movement on that front? Because it feels like, since he's a Boris guy, they're kind of painting themselves into a corner. And now Bregman and Boris have the leverage.
Yeah, for me, it's almost like last year, too. It's like they got Alex Bregman because Bregman almost waited for Boston to move, you know, and to offer him a deal he's willing to take. And I think, you know, Bregman wants to be back here, but I think when you look at his mark, you start wondering what it is. And this could come down to the issue. The Red Sox like these players, but they like them at their price. They value these guys. And if you continue to do that, you are not going to get these guys, right? So, they may slow play this thing, and that's why I think part of the rumors, too, to be honest with you, with him interested in every single infielder, might be to shake up that camp a little bit, because I do think Alex wants to come back, and he doesn't want to hear the Red Sox involved in Isak Paredes or Ketel Marte or whatever it may be, and they may be separate deals anyways, but they have to be willing to kind of get a little uncomfortable in terms of what they want to give per year and how many years.
Nesson and WEEI's Lou Maloney here on WEEI Afternoons. Lou, so you just said, oh, there's a couple bats out there, and we've already seen a couple pitchers come in. We all started the offseason thinking Joe Ryan and a big bat. Is it now quantity over quality then?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on if you think, like, you know, a guy like Ketel Marte or Alex Bregman, it's like, you know, is it more of a complete player better than a guy that can pop 45 homers? You know, and you can sit in a room and argue that all you want. So you can still get two impact guys to hit this in the 2-3 range for this lineup, I think. You know, it's just a question of, is one through trade, is one through free agent signing? It's just a question of, like, where they go from here. They have to go somewhere. Like, you don't you have Roman Anthony, you know, let's say, call it, you have a leadoff hitter, and then you have like 5 through 9 covered with potentially Story hitting somewhere in that top five, but still, that's what you have. You have huge holes in your lineup.
So trade market, right? I mean, that's the next logical thing is the trade market, Lou. I mean, and there's deals out there that we had probably have no idea, because we don't know who they're interested in on other teams. But I mean, is that the next, really the only move they have left to get the middle, you know, bat that they so kind of desire and covet? Is the trade market the way to go?
Yeah, I think it could be. I think the Marte thing is real. I think there should be interest in him. I think he's kind of all around probably the best second baseman in the game, switch hitter, the really good defensive guy that can hit for some power. So I think that's real. It's just that, you know, we hype up our prospects so badly that I think what it would take to get him, people are like, no way. And I say all day, because I'm trying to improve the big league team. You know, you create depth and you just get into this hoarding idea, and like, you know, the people in Boston, they just love these prospects. Not everybody's Roman Anthony, you know what I mean? Like, not everybody's Pedro Martinez. And it's sort of like, you have to start giving up a little bit, and it could hurt, but you can get one of the better second basemen in the game, if not the best. So I still think that's real. We'll see if they dive in. I like the kid Okamoto, the Japanese, if they want to dive back into that first baseman, third baseman model, just because of the profile is just kind of in that Bregman kind of range, right? Like, he can play defense, he makes contact, he hits 25 home runs. I mean, this is where we're at right now, right? Because the elite power is off the table.
Last we saw, Lou, as far as the pitching went, Sox were starting a kid who had just been called up a few weeks ago in the third and final game of a wild card series. So pitching needs a little work as well. So far, picked up Oviedo and Sonny Gray. What do you think about what they've done as far as pitching acquisitions thus far? And anyone you have your eye on going forward?
Listen, I like Sonny Gray, okay? It's just that I thought you were going to get your Chris Sale to go with David Price. I thought you were going to get a guy for 4 or 5 years to go with Garrett Crochet, not one. And that's kind of what Sonny Gray is. I think for 2026, I think he's a good pitcher. Oviedo's kind of more upside. Bayo is in the mix. There's guys like Patrick Sandoval and Cutter Crawford. And, you know, there's six names right there. And then you're not even mentioning Early yet. So it's, you know, the depth is there. There's potential. you know, as long as you have Crochet healthy on top of that rotation for it to be still a very good rotation. But, yeah, depending, if you don't spend on the bats, you do wonder if they take a path and try to load up on this rotation for one more big piece.
So, Luke, is it my understanding Breslow had some media availability? Did you hear him speak?
Yeah.
What was his message? What did he have to say?
You know, it's when a GM sits in front or a manager sits in front of the media during these things, they don't say anything. They really don't. I mean, it's like, well, we can't talk about free agents. We can't talk about pursuit. We're interested in this guy. We're interested in that guy. So, you know, it's hard to read between the lines, you know, with a lot of it, because they just like I said, this front office, they don't give you much, right, publicly. And it's why when you come down here, you have to sift through, like, all the crap that you hear and the rumors. You got to shower 4 or 5 times a day just to feel clean and just sort of go with it and wait for something to happen so you can react to it rather than trying to predict it, because it can be extremely unpredictable.
All right, before we let you go, one last question. I was reading some of the Cora comments from yesterday, and was it reality or crap when he was talking up Willy Abreu you and saying something to the effect like he could be the guy, he's going to hit more against lefties this year and maybe he could be, quote, the guy? Is that reality? Can he be your guy for a power hitter?
Yeah, he can be. It'd be nice to have like more of a given next to it, but I do think that there is another level. I mean, last year you look at some swing and miss stuff out there numbers wise where it was like 28-30%. He cut it down to 24. If there's one more step and he makes a little bit more contact, and that average can climb to 270, and he can stay healthy, and he can pop 30 home runs. There's no question about it. And Roman's got some potential to do it as well. So Abreu has a chance to really be a special player if he takes the next step. Like elite defense, power, good athlete. So there's a lot of potential there. And that's why you'd like to see the veteran known player go with the potential of an Abreu, Roman, Sadon, Narvaez, these types of guys. You just don't want to rely on those young guys and just expect all of them to take the next step, because that's just not realistic.
All right, Lou, safe travel.
Real quick, did you take the sticks down there, Lou? Did you play some golf while you're down in Orlando?
No, I didn't. We were right on a golf course, and it really killed me. Instead, I just walked up and down hallways just waiting for something to happen for 3 or 4 days, drinking about 48 cups of coffee.
Walking hallways and taking a lot of showers. Yep, very good.
That's the Lou Maloney experience at the meeting. Safe travels home. Enjoy the drinking if that's part of your future. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, boys. You got it. Anytime.
See you, man.
Lou Maloney from Nesson, and obviously
he wasn't that angry.
I was disappointed. No. Honestly,
well, he's kind of on the cusp of getting angry.
Yeah,
but he wasn't full out.
Or maybe he's had a couple drinks already and he's kind of mellowed out a little bit.
I think he's tired, Lou, right now. Yeah. Maybe he'll wake up a little more frustrated.
That would
tomorrow.
Be a very exhausting, I think, trip. Because you're doing is talking to people and they're telling you lies and they're whispering lies in your ear and you don't know what to believe. That couldn't be fun.
Sounds like a visit to Washington, D.C.
Dan Ball?
And Lou is a fan just like we are, too.
Absolutely.
So it's exhausting from a professional side and a personal side because you're exhausted of, you know, what the result is.
And he's invested. He's going to do basically 140 games on either radio or TV next year. He wants to talk about a good, fun, entertaining baseball team.
As do we.
Yes, as do we. We want to talk to Alex Cora every week about a good, fun, entertaining baseball team. Not nitpicking who's playing first base or third base or, you know, how many lineups you've used so far through the season. So, all right, it's coming up on 5 o'clock, coming up on the drive. Up next here, we will continue to break down whatever it is we think the Red Sox are doing or not doing. The drive up next here on WEEI.
Keith, what was your 60-second plan again? The Italian breakfast, Vinny Pasquantino and Cole Reagans. It's a blockbuster deal, but you already have some good pitching prospects or young guys. You have an outfielder that you're trying to trade. You got Tristan Casas, who's a nice throw-in. You got a bunch of different things you can trade. So it'd be Reagans, the Pasquatch, and Bo Bichette.
Look, that's
and then
good.
You're cooking with gasoline.
Listening to Lou yesterday on WEI Afternoons, I wouldn't hold my breath on any of that, but I think it's a good plan.
Oh, I'm not holding my breath on anything related to the Red Sox at this point.
I don't even know
anything
if I should.
Positive related to the Red Sox.
I don't even know if I should hold my breath and or nose, which I'm prone to do on this plan. But I got Paredes and Suarez, and there's your offseason. Boom, your offseason is now done.
Devastating.
You run it back with Jaron Duran. He's still here. Somehow you save some money shipping Yoshida out. I guess that was the one bright spot of my plan.
Oh, yeah, you got somebody to take Yoshida.
Great. Theoretically.
He's going to rake in the World Baseball Classic, and we're going to wish he was back.
But that's not what I'm reduced to. That's not my new plan, because that's what the Red Sox deserve based on this approach. But listening to Lou, what they should do. All right, fine. We have a market on these guys. Pete Alonso, the reporting yesterday from Tim Healy, which was two-pronged.
This is brutal, although not that surprising.
The Red Sox offer was for fewer years and significantly less money than he got from the Orioles.
Cool.
And then they're weary of Pete Alonso because of his age. He just turned 31.
Just turned 31. Happy birthday to Pete.
And yet they're in on Bregman and Marte and Suarez.
Older.
And they already traded for Sonny Gray.
Suarez is way older.
They ran it back with Chapman.
Yeah.
But they're worried about Pete Alonso's age.
I can't imagine.
It's like, here's the thing. Fine. I'll meet you here, John Henry. I'll meet you in the middle. You have a limit on these free agents. You want to break the players' union, going into a potential work stoppage. Like, fine, I'll even get on board with all of that. You can't trade for some of these players? Like, fine, don't go out and sign them. You got to go trade for them. And I don't think that's a Henry thing. I've heard others try to apply that to John Henry. Like, he cares about prospects, which I don't really think he cares about. He might care about, like, the service time.
Well, right, how much is going to cost in the end.
The service time deficit, where if I'm trading, you know, prospects or young players who have 5 and 6 years of service time for a guy who I'm getting 1 or 2 years out of. Maybe he cares about stuff like that. But then I do have to shift the attention to Breslow, where it's like, okay, John Henry doesn't want to spend. That blows. And it's unconscionable and it's horrible. But okay, that's what it is. Now you have a job to do within those parameters that are unfair and stupid and should never be the case. But now you got to work within the parameters. So you can sign Pete Alonso. You can give him $35 million, $32 million a year, whatever, to top the Orioles offer.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got to come up with how you're going to cut corners elsewhere or ship money out elsewhere. And if you can't do that, now you have a solution or need a solution to replace what Pete Alonso would have given you for production. Like, if that's what you're going to be, and every free agent offer is going to be 3 years with opt-outs, and you're never going to go to $150 million for 5 years guaranteed for anyone, then you need to be active on the trade market. And I'm sorry, I'm not talking about Sonny Gray and Oviedo. I'm talking about bigger fish than that.
But even with like Sonny Gray, for example, like, do you think that was the password trade, right? Was that Gray or Oviedo?
No. Oviedo was the password. Sonny Gray was Brandon Clark, forward out of Gonzaga.
Right. But even then, it was also what was important about that deal, the Sonny Gray deal, was making sure you only paid half the contract. And so maybe that also impacted the prospect you had to give up or whatever else. And you're saying, I just feel like they need to be players in free agency because it allows you to, like, really improve your team with, like, you've done a good job, and it's not just Breslow. It was Heimblum before this, and honestly, even a little bit of Dombrowski. But, like, getting young players, getting homegrown players, you've re-signed a bunch of those guys or extended a bunch of those guys. So you have a pretty good job there with your overall roster. But spend money where you don't have to give up prospects. And then that way, there's still the opportunity for, like, a really big trade. Because now it seems like you're going to swing and miss in free agency. So if you do add anybody, it's from, I don't want to say gutting your farm system. That's too strong. But now you're going too far the other way because you're striking out in free agency. So now it's like, oh, yeah, we had Toley and Early and all these guys. Well, now we got to trade, like, one of those. Or we had these outfields. Now we got to trade those guys. Or even, like, the password. I don't think he was going to be this good major leaguer, but it felt like he could have been in, like, a bigger deal than the one he ended up going in.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, it seems and like you're sitting out a free agency.
And, again, not that we expected him to do this, but you could have signed Dylan Cease and kept the password, and now you have him for a future deal. I 100% get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an argument, not that John Henry would listen to it, but I think there's an argument that can be made where spending some money like this in free agency actually might save you long term. It might save you money long term where you're keeping prospects and they're developing and you get to them early you did with Rafaela and Bayou and Bayo and Anthony, and you get to them early and pay them. And now you've locked those guys in at lower level deals when you had leverage. And I think there's an argument that can be made to John Henry that spending on some of these guys and keeping your prospects now and building that way while supplementing it with a free agent could actually save him money long term. But I don't think he's going to listen to any of that.
No, he's not. And so, then it just feels like, let's say he said, just for the sake of argument, they're like, all right, you have $100 million in, like, new payroll for this season, and now, Breslow, you can use that. Well, now he's too afraid to go to, like, $32 million for Alonso because in his plan now is all thrown off.
I think you're totally right about this. And, yeah, I'm not.
So it's a combination. It's Breslow's fault and Henry's fault. It's both.
The biggest offender is Henry. He's the one who's in charge of the money. But okay, let's all wrap our heads around that. He's not going to spend money as an owner. It stinks. We hate it. Fine. Now Breslow has to work within those parameters. Last year he did that well. You know, he brought in Bregman. Mm-hmm. He traded for Crochet. I gave a lot of credit for it. Some thought too much. I think he had a great offseason last year. He's got to do it again this year. And
but even the Bregman one, like going back to that, like he gets credit because he signed him. There's all those reports that he didn't even really want.
Fine,
him. But my other thing is
you're right to say that.
I don't want to say luck, but there was more total dollars offered by other teams. Pretty rare, I feel like, where the player doesn't take the most total dollars. Now, you structure it in a way where you paid him through the nose per year and you got him, but it's not like you did the thing the Orioles just did, which was pay more than anybody else for Pete Alonso. You structure it in a way like, hey, we'll pay more this season for you, but I don't know, maybe they were worried about the age or maybe they were worried about something, but they still weren't ready to go to 5 years for him.
But they got him. They did get him. If you can play that game with Bichette, or I don't even know who that would be anymore.
I think Bregman's kind of unique in that sense.
Me too. But let's say you play that game and you end up with Bichette. Like, that is now what he has to do. And he's not. I won't let him off the hook. As on board as I was with him as a GM last year, I think he had a good year last year. Bad deadline, but overall, great year in terms of the baseball moves and the talent he added. The team was a playoff team. A lot of people didn't think that would be the case after the Devers trade. A lot of people didn't think that would be the case before the year. They were all wrong. Us two were right. They were all wrong on that, and I think Breslow was a big factor in that. But now he's going to do it again, and I don't like the start whatsoever. Remember, a year ago at this time, they were trading for Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, literally 1 year ago today.
I don't get the sense anything like that is anywhere close.
We're going to be smiling at some point about the Red Sox. Maybe it's something else. Maybe something else makes you smile. You don't need to get into specifics, but maybe as it relates to the Red Sox.
If we're smiling, I'm going to tweet at Will.
Good, yeah.
If I'm smiling welcome by the end of the week, I will try to coax him back onto Twitter is what I will do. We still have, what, I don't know.
We have another day.
Another, 28-ish hours. Yeah. Ralph is in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You know, the funny thing is we're here in Breslow, who had a great offseason, like you said, last year. He had a phenomenal offseason. And he didn't have a check. Here, spend what you want. Now you go to Henry. Now let's look at Henry. Henry came here. This team hadn't won in close to 100 years. He's won 4 championships, and he doesn't seem like a rah-rah sports fan. You might feel the same way if you were him. If you had us spending the money, going to the games, buying all this paraphernalia, I mean, what we're paying for our TVs, you know, I could almost say, well, I understand that more, but we should blame ourselves because he knows no matter what, we're going to go and we're going to spend money. Now, what we do from
but
here...
Ralph, I don't necessarily agree with that. He knows people will. It's not necessarily Red Sox fans. We've seen other fans
dominate
take over the ballpark, so I don't fully agree with what you're saying. I think a lot of Red Sox fans have stopped spending their money and watching the team and going to games. Now, when the team is good like last year, they show back up. But we've seen other fans take over the ballpark. So his calculus is he knows people will come, not Red Sox fans.
Yeah. But let's look at the trade bait they have. This is why I don't think this is that tough of a job. I mean, you have guys that I would look to trade, Casas, Campbell, Bayo, Abreu, Duran, and the 2 pitchers he traded to bring in a 38, 36-year-old guy, whatever, you could have used them. There's deals you could have made. And you know, not getting Alonso just showed them that they really don't want to spend money to bring in that power guy in the middle. They need an A2, and they need a power hitter.
Well, I agree with all that. He says blame the fans, not owners. That sounds like blame for ownership, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But no, they have plenty of guys they could trade off the big league roster, never mind minor leaguers. I agree with them on that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, overall, like, the roster is missing a couple of key pieces, but it's not that they don't have depth in other areas or like interesting pieces for other teams. Yeah. But, like, I feel like whatever the deal is, like, if Tarek Skubal gets traded by the Tigers, and he'll probably go to the Dodgers, but let's just say if he gets traded, you'll be able to look at that trade and say, here's the equivalent on the Red Sox.
Right.
And it'd be
Arias Toley and something else.
Like, 6 years ago, if you were like, hey, let's look at the Red Sox system and let's trade for prospects, no, you'd probably lose a lot of those to other teams that were trading their top guys. You might lose that, right? But all of a sudden, a whole bunch of like broken down the top 100 in baseball and all those lists.
Screw it. Sign Tucker. Trade 2 outfielders for pitching. There, I fixed it. You think that's happening?
I don't.
Will Kyle Tucker he's tied to a qualifying offer, right?
Will they sign somebody that makes more money than Garrett Crochet total?
Nope.
I think he's at 170 for the whole contract.
No, the projected Bregman contract, and all of these contracts are a little
Bregman
higher.
Yeah, Bregman would be less.
Bregman should be less than
now,
that.
Now, Bo Bichette might be more.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not saying they get him. I want them to.
I always forget about him because it doesn't feel like they're really in on Bichette to me. But
probably right.
But he would get more than Crochet. Okay. So if they sign him, sure. Big if.
Yeah, it's not happening.
617-779-7937. That's how you jump in line here on Jones and Keefe. We'll go back to the Pats at 1 o'clock. We talked to Sal Capaccio out of Buffalo. I thought he had some interesting stuff on Steph Diggs, which we'll circle back to later on. Plus, Thursday, 1245, means it's time for the Madness. Kiefer Madness.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Red Sox brain trust leaving Orlando without so much as a souvenir. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. You can leave a Hill note on that. I was, as I said at the start of the show, pleasantly surprised by the fact that Curtis was not as angry at the Boston Red Sox as I thought he would be.
Well, the anger doesn't deserve, like, they don't deserve the anger right now. They really don't. They have shown you for years that they've changed. How many times, Greg, have I asked Sam Kennedy why they've changed approaches?
10, 15.
And every time he just admonishes me and says that you're wrong, you're a liar, you're misconstruing our behavior.
We're not making any money. We're
right, break-even business.
He said that on this show famously. There's a break-even business.
Right.
Yankees tried to say the same thing this year.
Honestly, the death of George Steinbrenner and the death of Larry Lucchino put a damper on the rivalry. Like, those two people were the forces for winning in both organizations. I feel like the issue is with Wiggy. The issue is with Will Fleming. The issue is with the people that, against their better judgment, continue to say to the audience that the team is going to be active, that the team is going to spend. They're back at the big boy table, where Will Fleming 2 days ago says the next 72 hours are going to be spectacular for Red Sox fans.
They're hearing that from somebody. Like, somebody's saying that.
Right. So if you're Sam Kennedy, I'm sorry, if you're Will Fleming, you say, hey, a-hole, you're making me look like a fool here, and you stop carrying the water.
Yeah, but see,
you don't lash out at the fans.
You got my words all twisted. You're not hearing what I said. I never said they were back at the big boy table. I said they've changed their philosophy. They went from a team that generally spent in the top five in payroll. Now they're a team that operates somewhere between 12 and 8.
Well, but you keep what Curtis is saying, it's not your fault, but you keep buying into it. I do too.
I buy into the stuff that they're saying.
When
why?
Because they're operating in a new format.
No, why do you buy into what they're saying when they've been dishonest?
No, but they haven't been dishonest to me in the sense
Where is the extreme urgency?
No, they have a new format, and I've been pushing that.
October 7th, Sam Kennedy said they have an extreme urgency to win. Where is it?
I don't know where that is.
What do you mean by new format?
The format is they now operate in a payroll area from, you know, they're going to be the 12th to 8th ranked team when it comes to payroll and salary.
12th to what?
To 8th.
You mean 8th to 12th?
Yeah, 8th to 12th. However you want to play it out.
6-7.
They used to be a top 5 payroll team when it came to where you compared them to the rest of Major League Baseball.
So they're operating like a small market team. That's what we said countless times during
I don't know if that's a small market team, 8 to 12. I would say it's more of like a...
Well, they weren't 8th to 12th last year in payroll.
Yes, they were. They were number 12 when it came to payroll.
Okay, that's not 8 to 12. They're 12.
That's 12.
12 to 15 or whatever.
All right, so now we're moving the goalposts. I didn't say top 10. Did you not?
8 and 9 are both in the top 10.
Did you see? I said from 8 to 12, so somewhere in that. The year before, I believe they were top 10.
I don't know. I'm looking. Yeah. All I'm talking about is this offseason where we're sitting back here, and Wiggy,
I said that I was disgusted by what they did and not going after Pete Alonso and paying him. We were all happy last year with the offseason.
A mid-market team signed him, so you're not even 8-12.
Hold on. When it comes to the payroll discussion, can we do it in a way that Wiggy will understand?
Well, if you're going to go in chronological order.
Right. Yeah. Let's go chronological.
Yeah.
Chronological.
Last year, they were 12th, and I said that's where they're operating now.
Why are we allowing them to do that?
That's their new model.
I think there's a difference between Wiggy and Will Fleming, though. Like, Will Fleming gets paid solely by the team. So, of course, he's going to be carrying their water every chance that he gets. Like, anybody who blames him for that, if you were in his position, you'd be doing the same thing. Wiggy,
no, you don't have to share on social media that you're hearing things and then get mad at fans.
That's part of his job, Curtis. Like,
other play-by-play guy tweets
for the team?
If you
had Will Fleming's job, you would be doing exactly what he's doing. And yesterday, some type of social media, I don't know what was going on, but you've got Lou Merlone out there saying, like, it's too hot in here today. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Lou
usually handles the heat pretty well.
Okay,
so,
but like Sean McDonough wasn't on social media. I don't know all the
Sean McDonough is a different age bracket than Will Fleming.
Okay, another play-by-play voice of the Red Sox. It's not your job to fan the flames. If he didn't tweet what he tweeted, nobody would be angry at him.
Well, okay, so then why was Lou getting stuff yesterday?
Why was Lou getting stuff of what?
He was getting backlash yesterday as well. You're making it seem like it was a one Will Fleming tweet that got everybody all up in arms. You asked me a question. It was Red Sox fans as a whole yesterday that were clearly going after Red Sox beat writers, play-by-play people, color analysts, whatever. It was everybody. So there's a difference between just saying, oh, well, Will Fleming didn't need to tweet that one tweet. There was something else going on because Lou Merlone usually is the first guy that'll come back at anybody else. Mm-hmm. And for him last night to say, I'm off this app tonight, right. Talk
Fox
to you tomorrow.
Guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't quit the app like Will Fleming did. And Will Fleming...
It's kind of semantics.
Will Fleming said that the next 72 hours are going to be great for Red Sox fans. Mm-hmm. And when Will Fleming tweeted about the big story coming with Devers, he took a victory lap after that because he got it right.
Yeah.
You can't take the victory lap and then get off the app.
No, you can't.
Oink!
You can't get off of it. And wherever he got his information, somebody fed him bad information.
Yeah,
but
somebody told him that they were going to sign Alonso, I'm guessing.
But you know the world we live in today.
But they knew that they weren't because they were in. They were not in on the money, which is the most important thing. They were way short on money and way short on term of deal also.
Right.
Like,
but so, they knew that they weren't. Fleming didn't know.
Maybe they're cute and they think they're going to get Pete Alonso at a bargain price. I don't know.
Will Fleming knew they weren't going to go past 3 years at $100 million in their offer to Alonso, he wouldn't have tweeted that. And that's why Will Fleming's animus shouldn't be at the fans. It should be at the people that gave him bad information.
Well, read my lips.
The position was one of aggression and urgency.
The problem that we live in today's society, when you're in the world of sports or media or anything like that, you always want to be the first one to the party to break it. And see, that's Will Fleming's fault. He wanted to be the first one to say, hey, Red Sox fan, I'm the one who broke the news about this. I'm the one who broke the about Devers. But when you do that, you got to be able to take your L
exactly.
when the stuff that you spew is wrong.
No, I can't.
I just would never be mad at the person that I told bad information to. I would be mad at the person that gave me the bad information.
Yeah, you should be mad at his sources.
Don't lash out at Sox fans for the unmitigated gall of being excited about your report and get off the app. That is pathetic behavior.
But that's him. That's on him. Like, you should be mad at your sources.
Right.
Or for giving you this bad information. And then, if it's wrong, you got to take your L like a man. You know, all the criticism that's going to come your way, that's what they call a par for the course.
Yeah, get mad at the people that pay your bills, though.
You got to be kidding.
Well, no, not necessarily get mad, but, you know, your source is like, all right.
What do you think his credibility is with the people he's going to be talking to every night?
I hear what you're saying, Curtis, but at the end of the day, Will Fleming works for the Red Sox. Like, we have to call it what it is. Right. He's not going to call out the Red Sox and then lose his job.
Why do we have Lou Maloney on the show occasionally?
Because Lou Maloney calls it like it is.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but he doesn't even criticize the Red Sox.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
I love Lou. Stop it. I love Lou, but Lou criticized the Red Sox more before he started doing stuff.
Give me a goddamn first baseman.
Bud, you want to come at Lou?
Stop
you
it.
You go through this guy right over here.
He doesn't criticize them like he used to criticize them. Let's keep it a buck. We love Lou. He does criticize at times, but he doesn't criticize the same way he used to. Well, and just because he's on our show, we shouldn't give him.
You don't either ever since he got a bag of merch.
No. I criticize them the same way. My thing is with the Red Sox is people hold this animosity towards them ownership.
Hey, it's Lou.
But they don't hold the same type of animosity to the rest of the owners around here. Nevada with the sports team.
I was going to say, I thought it was going to be 9 a.m. when we got the deflection. It's 8:15.
No, it's not. It is true.
It's not really true. What?
It is true.
Look at the Jacobs. People can't stand them. People talk about how cheap they are.
Stop. Wiggy.
They have been for the 36 years I've been on the radio.
But if you got Judd Surratt in here, he probably wouldn't say it.
Well, I talk to Chairman.
I understand every day. That's if he wants to do that and do his job that way, great. He's also not on X saying, hey, big things coming for the Boston Bruins.
Greg, come on. Other than Maria from Watertown, who calls in and is criticizing Jacobs?
You don't know. You're just in a...
I'm not in a nothing.
You're over your skis on
no,
this.
No, I'm not over my
so
skis.
You don't talk to Bruins fans?
Huh?
Who you don't hear from Bruins?
No.
Wiggy, I love you. You know that. The Jacobs are as detested as any group of anybody.
So why don't we hear that?
Well,
we have my whole life. We hear about Sweeney. We hear about Sweeney and the mistakes Sweeney makes.
You haven't probably been.
No offense.
We haven't been doing this long enough.
I mean, I've been doing it just as long as everybody else in this room.
Another stroke of Sweeney sports talk.
Yeah.
I've been doing it as long as I've been.
No, I'm talking about the sports talk.
I had sports talk on my old show.
Yeah. I had
the great, one of the all-time great Boston Bruins on my show.
Boomer.
For 20 years.
But you said I've been doing it. You claim
you love the guy.
I've been doing it for 15 years like everybody else.
I've been doing it for 36. Right. And people have been ragging on the Boston Bruins and Charlie and his dad and chairman, Jeremy Jacobs, for 30 years.
As much as the Henrys, though?
It's not even close. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And, people criticize the Crafts. People criticize Wick and the ownership group over there. People criticize the other teams. But the criticism that John Henry gets and the Red Sox, especially John Henry as an owner, is nothing like those guys. And he brought you 4 championships.
Well, you've been saying that for a long time.
Right, but that's the point I'm trying to make.
That's your opinion, is that people don't appreciate what John Henry has done.
And if you want to talk about the difference between the two, one in 2008 or 9 got the lockout, gave up a season, and led the NHL to the cap, which got rid of the big advantage the Bruins had with the fan base and the market size given their sport. And what John Henry is, I think, the reason he gets as much blowback as he does, is that they look you in the eye and tell you one thing, and then do the opposite.
Yeah, I understand that.
Jeremy Jacobs is like 100 years old. He's not still active in the same way.
I understand
nothing changes if nothing changes.
Correct.
But the point that I've been making, and I've said this, is that when we talk to people, people criticize John Henry and ownership. Their organization for 20 years, besides the last 3, 4, 5 years, has been an organization that has already always operated at the top five when it came to signing big-ticket free agents.
Here's a 6-1 set. Courtney, we'll do the rest of the news coming up later. Yep. We can. Wiggy is right. Pats didn't do S at the deadline, and it was crickets.
Yeah. It was crickets.
I don't know that it was crickets.
Come on, Greg. It was crickets.
John! Hey, Raffy!
Hey, anybody!
When the Red Sox didn't do nothing at the trade deadline, we criticized them. We criticized, and the phone lines lit up of criticism towards John Henry, Sam Kennedy, Bresbot, whoever.
Now, here's an argument that says the reason is that the Jacobs have always been cheap, and the Red Sox used to spend a lot.
No, that's maybe fair.
Is that right, though? Like, one team spent a lot for a long time, and then and I've been saying it, has changed the way that they do things financially because they probably felt like we've been burnt so much by signing these big-ticket free agents that haven't panned out.
Wiggy, can I ask you a question quickly?
Sure.
If you were to ask Sam Kennedy today,
yep,
Sam, can you agree with my observation that you are no longer a top 8, top 10 payroll team? What do you think he would say?
He would probably try to spin it on how...
You're wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's fine, but that's what everybody does.
That is the rub.
Yeah, but...
So you're saying that I don't get why people don't understand that this is what they are. It's because the people that run the organization are telling the audience that is not what they are, despite being that way.
Right, you're wrong. You're a liar.
Right. You literally look me in the eye right. And say I'm a liar, and then you do that thing.
But that's what a lot of the ownership groups do. Whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the the Celtics, they spin the things the way they are. They want to.
Also, I'm going to push back on you when you say that they signed the big ticket free agents and it didn't work out.
Yeah,
that's exactly what won you the championships that you're talking about.
Yep. You don't win it without David Price at 18.
David Price is a great example.
All right, that's like one guy.
Manny Ramirez.
But
David Ortiz.
I'm talking about the money that they spent after that. Let me run down the list of the guys that didn't help you win a championship.
But that's not relevant. They did. They won four doing it the other way.
No, Adrian Gonzalez, Kyle Crawford, the Panda Bear. Who else did they?
Wiggy, they won championships when they spent. They haven't won when they stopped.
No, what don't you understand? I understand that. But
so then why wouldn't you want them to spend?
No, it's not that I don't want them to spend.
Who cares about Carl Crawford?
But they've changed their philosophy. What part of they changed
right, and we shouldn't accept it. They charge the highest prices.
My point is do the same thing for every other organization.
I do. I'm the only one that talks about the crafts not spending.
No, you don't. Greg Hill, do I talk about the crafts? No, you don't.
What are you talking about?
Not the way you talk about the Red Sox. Don't even go there.
You majored in deflection.
No, I'm not majoring. You know who you talk about when it comes to the Patriots? You talk about Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I talk about the payroll. I said the most underplayed story in the Boston sports is that since Kraft bought the team, they ranked dead last in cash spend.
So where was your criticism during the trade deadline when we sat there with Vrabel?
With Vrabel?
Yeah.
And they
didn't do anything during the trade deadline, and we were all like, hey, you guys got to do something. Why were you sitting there?
I think I was mocked for my smirk. I don't know exactly what I said.
We all criticized the Patriots for not making trades at the deadline.
I think the criticism's just different. When it comes to the Henrys, people immediately jump to politics, the Globe, whatever. They want to go on and on about the Henrys. When it comes to any other organization, whether it's the Jacobs, the Crafts, people will say maybe one or two things and then move on.
Right.
We're happy to have the Hillman down at Patriot Place. You've been with us since the beginning.
Thank you, Robert. Can we at least admit that if they've changed their philosophy, as you are saying, over and over and over again, can they just own up to that and tell you?
I wish they would.
Okay.
I agree with you. They lie about that.
Curtis called that gaslighting, whatever it is.
Yes, I believe that.
That's being disingenuous.
I believe that.
And if Mike Vrabel sat there and told us they were going to make big moves at the deadline and be urgent with their competence or whatever.
You were all over your guy, Gerard Mayo, when he said they were going to burn some cash and then they didn't.
It's the saying of one thing and doing the other.
No, but you see who we were on? We were on Gerard Mayo. We were on Elliot Wolf,
at the time, I was on Robert Kraft for telling Gerard Mayo he was going to go ahead and be able to burn cash, and then telling him to walk it back.
Well, maybe you were, but believe me, the beating of the drum wasn't as loud as it is for when it's the Red Sox, and that's the point that I've only tried to make. And yeah, I agree with you. Them gaslighting us is wrong.
It's Alonso is $31 million a year,
right?
Like, suck it up and pay it.
I would have paid it.
Why didn't they? I'm not being like, I don't have an answer. Like, why do you think they didn't?
Because they thought they were going to get a deal. They're trying to be cute. Like, they think they're gonna lowball him, and that it's all that's gonna be there, and that's exactly what it is.
But that there was already the Schwarber deal out there.
Maybe they're sitting there and they're looking at Tristan Cassis and they're going, "Hey, we got this guy. He's cheap." I don't know. It's absolutely nuts to me. Nuts. This is. Oh, here's Maria from Watertown. You brought her up. Hello, Maria.
Hello, everyone. I guess I should take it as a compliment that Wiggy threw my name in this conversation. Yeah. But yeah. Yes, I do. Thank you, Wiggy. I have criticized the Jacobs family, and rightfully so, as far as I'm concerned. But I have also criticized the other owners in this city, because here is the problem that they all have. As owners, they believe that we have short-term memories, those of us who are invested in these teams and spend time going to the arenas and the fields. But we don't. We have long-term memories. We listen to what you say to us, and we buy into it, because you're telling us, and you have shown us in the past, that you are committed to making this title town. And then when you stand up and you make disingenuous statements and statements that border on not the truth, and you expect us to sit back and take it, that's where you are all wrong. And the fact that the Sam Kennedys can stand up there and say with a straight face that it's a break-even business, Sam, I call you a liar, because all of these owners are billionaires. They didn't get there by not being smart.
By running a bunch of break-even businesses. Right. Yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, we spent days. The ink wasn't even dry on the purchase and sale agreement. Spent days ripping Bill Chisholm and Whit Grosbeck for getting to the second apron when the window was wide open on a championship. How's that not criticizing ownership?
I didn't say we didn't criticize. What
yes,
I said,
you did. That's
No. Exactly I said the criticism is much louder when it comes to the Red Sox. If you were to put a poll up and say who's been the best ownership group around here in sports over the past, we got this 25 for 25 thing we're doing over the past 25 years. I'm willing to bet you,
Ken
that,
Laird.
I'm willing to bet you that the Red Sox would probably be third or fourth on that list.
Yeah. Mitch, get on it.
And
tell the Mituation to get on that poll. I want it up immediately.
And just because SpoTrack is one of my favorite sites, I use it for cash betting on the NFL for years. 22, the Boston Red Sox were 12th, 23, 11th, 23, 18th, 24, 12th, 20, 25, 10th. In total payroll allocations, nowhere in the top 10 the last 5 years. So don't say it's 8 to 12 in every one of those years.
It is 8 to 12. You just said 12th, 11th, and 10th.
Where is the 8?
But I said that's where they've operated. So they might not be operating at 8, 9. They might be operating at 10, 11, 12.
And when we talk about the Patriots, I say over and over again that we give Kraft a pass as a city.
Listen, you criticize Belichick. Okay. When they don't spend money, you were like, oh, that's Bill.
Right.
That's Bill. That's Bill. That's Bill.
I literally said when I was back this summer, I took a couple weeks off, and I said the most underplayed story was a story in the middle of a Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta piece that noted that the Patriots were dead last in spending in the 30 years since Kraft bought the team. I literally said that from the rooftop, and I said that John Henry gets a hard time. He's never been anywhere near 30th in spending.
All right, we got to take a break on this. When it comes to show-on-show violence, who do you prefer it to be between? Texter prefers Courtney and Curtis arguing. Some prefer Wiggy and Curtis. Mm-hmm. Some prefer Shime and I.
I like that one.
I like Shime and Curtis.
You do?
Shime and Curtis
is a good one.
That's because they sit next to each other and they don't look at each other. That's my favorite.
You know what's a sneaky good one? Greg and Curtis.
That one's scary. I actually don't like that one because that one gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like once a quarter.
Yeah, that's a sneaky good one.
All right, let's get to Courtney into what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics are back in action tonight. They're in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. Tip is set for 8. The Bruins are in Winnipeg at the same time to take on the Jets. Thursday night football, we'll see Falcons at Bucks. Kickoff is set for 8:15. In college football, things have gone from bad to worse for ex-coach Sherrone Moore, who was fired yesterday afternoon due to engaging in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. He was then arrested after an alleged assault investigation that took place earlier yesterday afternoon. Over to baseball, where Pete Alonso is heading to Baltimore on a 5-year, $155 million contract, according to Tim Healy of the Globe. The Sox offer to Alonso was for fewer years and significantly less money. And give the perfect gift this year, 99 Restaurant gift cards. They're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got more of the news.
Well, we got Judd Surratt, I think, coming up next, and then we'll get to the news at 9.
All right, there you go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Red Sox, John, you can answer this too.
Sure.
I think they're in the market. They can do two big things. I think that's what they're telling people. So could that be Marte? Could it be Bregman? Could it be Okamoto? Could it be Polanco? I do think they like Marte. That would be interesting. But to me, Bregman is probably the guy for them, right? Mm-hmm. He's the incumbent guy, although we can't assume anything here. We've seen two big stars on
right.
their team already, and Bregman only been there a year.
Two of the four, I think, is a fair expectation. I certainly think at least one.
John Heyman, John Morosi yesterday. Oh, yeah, two of those four. That's definitely in play.
Is it, though?
At least
is
one.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure anymore.
They got to get one of these guys, right? They got to field a roster.
I mean, look, I think it's fair to hope for Bregman, but I do now think it's more hope than like a lock.
Yeah.
What did Brad Foe tell us yesterday?
51% now. He added 2% to him coming back.
He flipped his
numbers.
More
likely that he's back.
Last we talked to Brad Foe like a couple weeks ago, he's like 51% to 49% more likely he leaves. Now he's 51% to 49% more likely he stays. Either way, we're talking a coin flip at best.
Bradford did tell us to have that ready.
He did tell us to expect a sad trombone.
Man.
And boy, oh boy, did we get that yesterday.
He was right.
So here's the thing. Last week, Keith, we were still so hopeful. I mean, yesterday we were still hopeful.
Hopeful.
At least until
wide-eyed,
about this point in the show yesterday.
Bushy-tailed.
Wide-eyed, bushy-tailed. Very, very hopeful.
Yeah.
We thought things could happen.
What happened?
Spoiler alert. They did not.
No, I don't even want to be around anymore.
That's kind of where we're at.
At the risk of hyperbole, James.
Yeah.
That was the single worst single move that could have happened, in
Alonso
my opinion.
Alonso to the Orioles.
To me, or just Alonso not signing with the Red Sox.
Okay, but Alonso to the Mets, wouldn't you feel way differently about than Alonso to the Orioles?
I just think Alonso not to the Red Sox was such a crushing blow.
Bad enough, don't get me wrong. Him going back to the Mets, you'd go, all right.
I guess that detail to it makes it worse. Yeah. But I just mean, like, of all the different players, because, you know, Kyle Schwarber didn't think it was realistic. Tarek Skubal, as much as I want that, I don't think it's realistic. Some of the other names that are out there, even Bregman, like, this is where you and I disagree. I would rather have Alonso than Bregman. And so if Bregman signed somewhere else, I wouldn't have been as soul-crushed as I was Pete Alonso signing somewhere else.
Right. Right.
If that's what I'm saying. Like,
if Bregman went to the Orioles, but they got Alonso, you'd be happy.
I'd be like, oh, that's too bad they didn't get Bregman. I would have liked him back, right, too.
I still have
50 home runs coming in.
I still have Bregman at the top of my list, but I acknowledge that it doesn't feel exciting, and it feels very underwhelming, and at the end of the day, you've just run back your team from a year. I acknowledge all those things, but I value Bregman, and I want him back. And that's because he's a winning player, and because he's done it here, and he is a leader, and I still think there's defensive value to him that Alonso doesn't bring.
No, he's not great.
So, to me, I think all those things. But we go on the clock every Thursday at high noon. We might have to keep going on the clock every Thursday at high noon with specific Red Sox plans, and they keep effing it up.
They keep losing one of the guys in our plan. We'll have to adapt.
Okay. So who wants first ups here? I feel like you typically
first ups. Oh, yeah. So you want to go first then?
Well, I'm saying I'm asking.
Or do you think it's good?
Give me first crack at it, if you will, Nick. I'd like to go on the clock here with my Red Sox plan. All right, here's what the Red Sox do now in just 60 seconds. I thought about, like, selling the team and burning it down and tanking. I thought about all these things, but I want to soldier forward. So I want the Red Sox to trade for Isak Paredes. He can play first or third, 253, 20 homers, 53 RBIs. Get excited for that. Not only Isak, though, you can pair him with Eugenio Suarez. He's 35. Pete Alonso is too old, but he's 35. 228, 49, 118. Then you sell Yoshida. You get him out of here. You got to make John and Linda happy and save some cash. So my DH in his place, some amalgamation of your outfielders, which means you're keeping Jaron Duran. He's still a Red Sox. He's not going anywhere. Get excited. Your rotation, Crochet, Bayo, Gray, Oviedo, and Toley, same as last week. Infield, Paredes, Meyer, Story, Suarez. Outfield, Abreu, Rafaela, and Anthony. That should get you right around last place in the AL, but you save a crap ton of money, and I think it all goes according to plan for the Red Sox. That's my new plan. I got a great plan for the team. Finish in last, bring in Paredes and Suarez, do nothing.
Are the Suarez jerseys in stock by the time Christmas rolls around?
And people will really, really, really get on board with and like that.
Just want to say Isak.
Yeah, you want to say Isak Paredes several times. Yeah, that's all. The only reason why he was in there.
Okay, that's my plan. Yeah. I'm now bracing for that, by the way, which would be shameful.
Okay.
Let's hear Keith's new plan.
All right, in the words of Joshua Adams, stay positive and stay strong. Here's what I'm going to do. I have to pivot at this point. I'm calling up the Kansas City Royals, and I'm making a massive deal with the Royals, starting with Vinny Pasquantino.
Pasquatch!
The owner of two of the best nicknames in sports, the Pasquatch and the Italian Breakfast. You can even bring the Sasquatch that goes to the game, stick him up in the monster. He hit 32 home runs last year, drove in 113, and he plays first base. Lefty stick, that's fine. We'll deal with that later. But now I have the Pasquatch at first. That same deal, I'm getting Cole Reagans. Stealing from your plan from before, but I'm bringing in Cole Reagans.
Hell yeah.
And you're trading away one of Duran and Abreu, one of Toley and Early, and whatever else they want in the minor league system, and for good measure, Tristan Casas. Then the one big free agent signing, Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette, so you can do the Bubba Fett night, dressed up as Bubba Fett, Bo Bichette is. He's going to play second or third. Meyer's going to play second or third with the Pasquatch over at first. And now I have Reagans as my number two starter behind Crochet.
Okay. I like your plan better. I'm not going to lie. You have a better plan than me.
I don't know how realistic it is, but it's really one free agent signing because you don't have to pay Reagans or Pasquatch yet. So that might be more of something they'd be willing to do. Now, I don't know why the Royals would want to trade the Pasquatch. Well, it's not ideal.
His name's been out there.
The Italian Breakfast. His name has been out there.
We never talk about these plans, Keith. These are always very organic and they come up on the air. Yeah. No joke. When Ken popped in the last break, I reworked my whole plan. Ken's like, well, what about Suarez?
Suarez.
And I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And then I'm like, no, maybe I do have a
new plan.
You know who was in my original plan?
Pasquatch?
Pasquatch.
Okay.
Pasquatch was in my original plan before I ripped it all to shreds in the last break. I turned around and I said, no, wait a minute. Actually, I want a sucky plan for this sucky team.
Listen,
but
they signed a guy who they thought was an actual panda years ago. So would they sign a guy that they think is a Sasquatch now?
It'd be incredible. Honestly,
How do you
There's
win?
Nobody I'd want more.
I don't know how you win the whole fan base back over, but how do you win
I
us?
I think I got a pretty good idea.
You win us two morons back over pretty quick with the Pasquatch.
It's Italian breakfast night. It's Italian nightmare night. It's the Pasquatch night. All three of those sell themselves.
So, but I did not have Reagan's and Pasquatch in my day. My plan really was Bregman and Pasquatch, but...
No. I'm past Bregman at this point. I think it would just annoy me. Like, it really would, because it's just like, oh, let's bring the guy back and, like, celebrate that we made this big signing. It's like, no, you had him. You had him. You structured this deal this way. He goes somewhere else. I would rather have the new blood in Bo Bichette, who I know is not a power bat, but that's why you get the Pasquatch. I mean, Pasquatch and Bichette, that should be 50-plus home runs between the two. Mm-hmm. And now it's more of like a legitimate middle of the lineup with, you know, Roman Anthony. Anthony will probably lead off again because he seemed to do really well with that. But then you have those other guys right after. If you go Anthony, Bichette, Pasquatch, nah, you kind of a Abreu story, kind of getting lost in it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the 0-4 Red Sox lineup, no matter what happens this offseason, but you can kind of salvage it a little bit here. And Reagan's, you brought him up a week ago, but Reagan's kind of gives you that upside pitcher that you don't have to pay Dylan Cease money yet, and is somebody that you'd expect a better season than like a Sonny Gray, even a Brian Bayo, honestly.
So, no, look, I like Reagan's a lot, and I wonder if the pivot for the Red Sox is, what's that?
Well, the guy was like, Jesus, Keith, why don't you ask for Bobby Witt?
Well,
next week.
I do like that your plan is just to become the Royals. I mean, yeah. I do like that.
Get as many Royals as you can.
Yeah. Carlos did have the Royals in the World Series last year.
I like the Royals.
Yeah, that's true. I was Keith high on the loves Royals. The Royals. Yeah. I like the Unis. Weren't the Unis in there?
Yeah.
Were our Unis
in there? Yeah.
Are there
the Bo Jackson ones, the light blues.
Yeah, those are nice.
I had Bobby Witt as my MVP.
Any powder blue jersey uniform made in any sport. I'm sorry, you were in on Witt, yeah?
I'll take Bobby Witt. I had him last year as my MVP. He did not win, but hit a lot of doubles. I also had him in the dong pool. I had him in the dong pool, too. I was way in on Bobby Witt.
He had a slap hitter team.
That's what we call over-leveraged on Bobby Witt Jr.
I think I might take Italian breakfast next year.
I like
kidding
it.
Kidding me?
I like it.
That's nice.
So anyway, you can weigh in with your plans. Go on the clock. 617-779-7937. Nothing to be afraid of after you heard those plans. 30
seconds. You could probably top it, I would
30
imagine.
Seconds is what you get. Eugenio Suarez, 49 homers last year. I think our guy Gordo has been referring to him on Twitter. I think I'm attributing this properly.
Okay.
I think he's been referring to him as this year's Anthony Santander.
Anthony Santander, though, could smack some dingers.
Well, he could.
He could. Well, no, but I thought it wasn't just a one-year deal.
Santander was horrible last year, wasn't he?
No. But he had a great contract year.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I'm saying he went on a stretch where he hit 33, 28, 44.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he only managed six. But he didn't play a lot. He missed a lot of time.
Okay, but Suarez went 31, 31, 22, 30, 49. I mean, 49 is a big spike, but it's not he was out of nowhere power.
No, but Santander also signed at 30. He didn't sign at 35.
Good point.
I don't really want Suarez. I thought he was a good
mid-season
acquisition.
Trade deadline. That would be such a perfect.
But
Red
it's
Sox
also
thing.
No surprise. So like the Mariners last year had a really good deadline, and they got Suarez and they got Naylor, and then they get to the end of the season and they immediately sign Naylor. They did not immediately sign Suarez.
No, true.
I think that kind of tells you something.
Good point. Yeah. They kind of knew what they were getting into there. So no, I mean that'd
the
be
ball
such
flies out of Arizona too. By the way, because in 106 games he played, hit 36 home runs. In 53 games he hit 13 with Seattle.
Yeah, we've gotten. I thought you were about to say this about Marte. You're saying that about
Suarez.
No, the ball
flies out there.
We've gotten texts about this the last couple of days that don't buy into Marte's numbers. They're fake in Arizona, et cetera.
Is it like a story?
Maybe. I don't know if the splits are that bad. We can look them up. I don't know if the splits are that bad.
He hit 189 with the Mariners in 53 games, so that's good.
No, he had a better bat. No, Marte had more road dongs than home dongs.
Well, road dongs.
Yeah.
All right, nice.
Sounds on the like road dong, Jesse James, the badass Billy Gunn.
Sounds like somebody's ex-wife is what that sounds like.
No, Marte was actually better on the road last year.
Okay.
So it's not that.
All right, there you go. So anyway, those are our plans. Mine's tongue-in-cheek.
El Nino.
Mine's tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, El Nino, of course.
El Nino.
Because I am starting to brace for the worst when it comes to the Red Sox. What the hell was I just going to say? So the one pivot for the Red Sox that I still allow for.
Yeah.
And I'm not like betting on it. But one way to kind of save the offseason is you do go all in on a pitcher. One of these like pitching trades. Because you still have a surplus of outfielders. You still have prospects. You have young pitchers that can move.
Yeah, you could. I mean, theoretically, if you make a big time move for a guy, you could talk yourself into having the best American League rotation.
Well, and this is the thing, and this crystallized when Justin in DC called in and yelled at us earlier, and he's like, Orioles and their offensive war.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, they have one pitcher, and so what's the pitching war? Like, what's the team? Like, what is Fangraphs projecting for the overall team? You're just giving me the offensive war. I get it; they can hit the crap out of the ball. Got it. But what about the pitching? And the Red Sox do have good pitching now. And if you added Reagans, if you added Freddy Peralta, who they're linked to, which I don't think they're going to get, but if you did something like that in addition to Bregman or Bichette, that's a way to salvage the offseason. But do I think any of that's likely? No. No, I do not.
Unlikely.
Meanwhile, yes. Update on Corey Seager. This is from Jeff Passan. The Rangers are listening. Okay. Or, I'm sorry, are in listening mode.
Oh, they're in listening mode?
On star shortstop Corey Seager, who Nick hates. We figured
Nick
this out the other
like
day.
Seager,
yeah, no, Nick is completely out on him.
Despite him having a 6.2 war in 102 games.
Yeah, extrapolate 102 that.
Games.
Extrapolate well, that, though. That's games. Like, that's, I don't even know what that is. But it almost double
digits. In 2023, he finished second in the MVP, and he only played 119 games.
Nick's like, nah.
What the hell happened there?
He's a two-time World Series MVP, right? I don't have it in front of me. Isn't it two-time? Yeah, literally. I'm sorry. In the story I'm looking at,
yes.
Passan, the two-time World Series MVP.
I don't have it in front of me.
Can confirm.
Is by any, it doesn't mean by any means.
Nickname?
The two-time. Oh, yeah?
Siegs.
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 Nice.
I don't know if that's worth
the
writing.
You have to make the World Series to be World Series MVP.
That's true. But he's had some good years.
Yeah, that's a big step in winning World Series MVP. I'll give that to you.
You got to get there.
It doesn't mean by any means that he's going to be moved, but it reflects the Rangers' willingness to overhaul the team beyond their trade of Marcus Semien. To be abundantly clear, Texas isn't looking to shed the remaining 186 on his contract.
He has 15 World Series home runs.
He's awesome.
That's ridiculous.
The return would need to overwhelm the Rangers, but they're facing a payroll crunch, and with Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber, Seager's deal is now quite appealing. He's only 31, plays an excellent shortstop, blah, 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 blah.
But
blah,
Corey
blah, blah,
Seager
blah.
Makes no sense to the Red Sox based on what we have heard. So, like, they thought Pete Alonso's too old. He's the same age as Seager.
Yeah, but do you believe that? I don't believe the Alonso thing. I think that's like fake.
Okay,
excuse
but if, all right. As long as you're ready to be proven how hypocritical you are, because just based off of that, they weren't going to go to 5 years for Alonso. There's 6 years left
already
for Seager.
Deal. Correct,
and it's at more money than you were willing to offer Alonso. And you could say Seager's a better player, but I'm kind of with Nick on this one. Like. Not if he's not playing. Like, he's a better player theoretically, but if he's playing 50 less games than Pete Alonso is, I'll take Pete Alonso.
Well, yeah, me too. But that one's gone now. So I just think any Red
what
Sox.
What about the Pasquatch?
Any Red Sox. I like the Pasquatch.
Pasquatch over Seager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on nickname alone.
Nickname alone, but also.
Yeah, but you're going to have to pay probably through the nose. For either one, I think I agree.
Pasquatch is team friendly deal for like a few seasons.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think he's arbitration eligible yet.
He's just like a free guy.
My whole idea was I was like, give him Duran. They've been linked to Duran. I don't know why they take him. You already have to pay him, and they're trying to get out of Pasquatch's deal. But
fans
yeah, well, whatever. Oh, good point. Good point. He does that most places.
Yeah.
No, the Red Sox even being linked to Seager though does tell me something about Trevor Story. I brought this up the other day. I don't think Story's a lock to be at shortstop, and that doesn't mean they're getting Seager. But Marcelo Meyer might get more of a sniff at shortstop. And
he should. He's a shortstop.
Their best defensive alignment would be, and not to run this back with like the whole Rafael Devers thing all over again, but their best defensive alignment is Meyer at short, Story at second.
Yeah.
If Story played great at second years ago, I don't know if he'd ever go along with it. And by the way,
he might.
The fact that he opted in tells me maybe there's a wink and a nod agreement there somewhere.
Yeah.
But they might pull the rug out from under him like they did theoretically with Devers.
Because next year's the last year in his deal, meaning 27, right? So he has 2 years left when he opted in. So you have that. But I think at some point, Marcelo Meyer is going to play the position that you drafted him to play. Alex Cora has said time and time again, this guy is a shortstop, so he'll get there.
I'll tell you, though, the names are getting disappointing with the Red Sox.
You think?
I mentioned Suarez and Isak.
Yeah,
Paredes.
Paredes, yeah.
Who else were we just talking about? Oh, Corey Seager actually is not a depressing
name.
No,
that's a good name.
This one, though, and this would be like the Red Sox. Like, they should have got Suarez at the deadline, and then they turn around and sign him. Yandy Diaz is a player I like a lot, and I wanted them to trade for last year.
Yeah.
But again, the idea was now you're spackling together first base in the middle of the year. You just passed on two guys, certainly one guy, who could have helped you there. So to me, that's more frustrating.
Also 3 years older than Pete Alonso.
Yeah, Diaz, you look.
Where do you stand on Jorge Polanco?
Jorge Polanco, I'm not crazy about at all.
They need a second baseman.
Yeah.
He hit 26 bombs last year.
Yeah, what did he hit before that, though? I was looking at him a 16? Few weeks ago. Yeah, isn't he mostly like a in-the-teens guy?
He's mostly in the teens guy, but in 2021, he ran into 33 of them.
Maybe that's not the way we should refer to players, but yeah, that's Wander Franco, also a free agent.
Terrible.
But his year
kind of... Oh, I like teens.
Do you love Polanco?
That's why
I'm Jones and Josh Giddey. Disgusting. 13th in the MVP in 2019.
But his year last year felt like a bit of an outlier.
Jorge Polanco?
Yeah. Or it had been a while since he had another season like that. Yeah, I'm not crazy about him at all.
No, me neither.
But there you go. These are now what we're reduced to talking about.
Eeks.
Big time eeks.
Yep. Eeks.
617-779-7937. You want John Rhode Island's plan?
Yeah, obviously I do.
He wants to go on the clock. Nick, are we ready? Give me a thumbs up if we're ready for that. I didn't mean to throw that at you impromptu.
Yeah, have the clock ready. The clock's always ready.
All right, John Rhode Island, go.
Hey, guys, love the show. What a year it's been. Okay, here's the plan for the 2026 Red Sox. They should link up with my ex-wife because they have the exact same issues. Terrible at spending money. They entertain random people. They have long-term commitment issues, and they both think I'm an idiot. Thank you.
Didn't even need the 30.
Oh, I was just going to let the clock tick until we got to 30 seconds.
Didn't even need it. That was well done. Spider-Man meme. That guy's ex-wife and the Red Sox.
Hey, go for the ex-wife jokes, Keith.
John and Rhoda, I like it. Yeah. I do like
Except he might actually have one.
The man's one note, but I like it.
That might be the difference.
What are you talking about? So he has commitment issues.
Red
Sox have commitment issues.
He doesn't.
They don't want to spend money. No. I got the sense his ex-wife was maybe spending too much money.
Spending issues can be on either side.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that one was the last
they
one.
they entertain random people or whatever?
Lots of entertaining. Some weird Zoom calls in John's
home. Definitely some weird Zooms.
And then, of course, they all think he's an idiot, which is fair. I mean, look. The Red Sox... Fitzy had a good line about this yesterday. He's like, the Red Sox are a dumb organization. He's like, but you know who's dumber? All of us. We're all dumber for buying into this, which is fair. Like, the Red Sox think I'm an idiot, and it turns out they're kind of right. I fall for this every single year. So if the Red Sox think we're all idiots, at least with me.
Guilty.
And John. Guilty as charged. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We have a madness for you at 12:45 and on the way next. How do the Red Sox salvage this? We started talking about that. Let's get to more of it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
listen, I wanted one of those two guys because obviously it's instant power tool. But, you know, is it bust after that? Like, you know, there's still some players here that you can add. You don't have that elite tool of power. Those are those two guys. The other guy is Gino Suarez. I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you. I know he's got potential, but it's not consistent. There's a ton of strikeouts. He doesn't play a position. So for me now, I just sort of look back to, I want Alex Bregman. You know, I want defense. I want contact. I want 20 to 25 home run potential. I want to find the same thing at first and go from there.
That was Lou Maloney with us yesterday here on WEEI Afternoons.
Ooh.
Before he boarded a plane, flew back home, left the warmth for the cold.
Came home, gave his wife a hug, a high five to his son, and probably had about 8 ounces of Crown Royal.
And that's okay. But Fitzy, we were emotional yesterday. The news broke of Pete Alonso shortly before we went on the air, kind of threw a wrench in our show, and I think had us all just sort of reacting on the fly emotionally. Okay.
Uh-huh.
24 hours later, how are we feeling about the same situation with the Boston Red Sox leaving the winter meetings with no big bat? Pete Alonso has a job. Kyle Schwarber has a job. And they're trying to find new creative ways or what have it to fill their needs.
You know, our reactions did not fall upon deaf ears, as it seems like a lot of people were happy that we were frustrated and emotional and sort of, you know, rode sidecar to how we felt, especially about Pete Alonso. And I'm not going to back down off of that. And I'm still frustrated by it because I still think he would have been perfect in a green monster uniform. That said, there are ways. I'm not going to worry about them mitigating the PR damage. There are ways to still improve this baseball team. It's just that free agency doesn't cost assets. Free agency doesn't cost players. Free agency doesn't cost prospects. So sure, you're going to have to overpay. As many people have always, you know, if you're unwilling to overpay in free agency, then you're guaranteed to lose free agency and finish third. They can trade for guys. They can make some moves. It's just the guys that we were all so enamored of. And, you know, what do we know? You can probably fill the Charles with what we don't know compared to some of the greater baseball minds. There's guys out there to get. But, boy, they seem to be way behind, especially in a hyper-competitive AL East.
Yeah, they're talking about getting creative now, and we'll get to some of those reports in a little bit.
Why get creative? Just get obvious.
Right, just get a paycheck. Just get a check really? And write it out. Actually, as you said, it's not even checks anymore. Type it into a computer, you know, okay, the direct deposit
direct
or whatever,
deposit,
and
yeah,
move on.
Venmo, ACH, Zelle, whatever.
But I do want to go to a couple things from Twitter today, and I thought this was a really, really interesting Rob Bradford tweet. Earlier this morning, he actually retweeted something that Andrew Friedman, the GM of the Dodgers, said in 2016.
Yes.
2016.
Yes.
So 9 years ago, Bradford retweeted it this morning and says 9 years later, it still hits. And this is the quote from Dodgers GM or whatever his fancy title is, Andrew Friedman. If you are always rational about every free agent, you will finish third on every free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that feel like that describes the Red Sox perfectly in free agency?
Ding, ding, ding. Absolutely it does. You know, oh, what was some of the backfire we heard yesterday regarding the Red Sox and Pete Alonso? Oh, the Red Sox are concerned about his age. He's younger than Bregman, who's the poster boy for your off-season desires last year and this year as well. Look, Pete Alonso is not going to remind anybody, you know, of Wally Joyner or Doug Minkiewicz with his glove anytime soon. You know, he's not the best defensive first baseman. Neither was Schwarbs. Guess what? Don't care. You know what they're really good at doing? Hitting the ball out the ballpark, which not anyone else on your roster is really good at to their tune. I don't think you may not even get half as many home runs. And if they're banking on Story again this year, that was like the first year he played in his Red Sox contract that resembled a complete season, 80.
So the Alonso age thing kind of annoyed me because it felt like somebody was just scrambling and said, like, just tell him we were worried about his age. Like, make something up on the fly. And then people are like, wait, he's not really that old. What are you talking about? It's like, well, we don't really have anything else because the next thing we'll have to tell him we didn't want to spend the money. And we can't tell him we didn't want to spend the money. So circle back around to the age thing. And, you know, Suarez. Old, right? Bregman, old. There's guys that are old that now feel like they're part of Plan B, older than what we all thought should be Plan A. The other thing I wanted to go to on Twitter, Fitzy, is I use this. I wanted to wait intentionally. I didn't put up a poll yesterday because I wanted, you know, everybody to have a chance to really.
The flames of passion to dissipate
yes.
a bit.
Yes.
And if I may also, to your ageism litany right there, I'd like to also add Ketel Marte, older
oh, yeah.
than Pete Alonso.
And may or may not be liked by people that play on his own team, depending on who you believe and the situations you look into. So our poll today, WEEI Afternoons at Jumbo Heart. Red Sox fans, what word would you use to describe Boston's failure to add Pete Alonso or another big bat so far this offseason? Fitzy, the options I gave were mm-hmm. predictable, mm-hmm. embarrassing, unfortunate, or other, and reply with the word. And do you know what is leading in the clubhouse very, very strongly?
Predictable with like 57%.
Yeah, 58% predictable.
Yes.
32% guess. Embarrassing. So
they were with us. It was predictable chunk. And embarrassing.
And then only 8% said unfortunate, and there were just a few replies, nothing else. These words seem to cover how everybody was feeling. And I can't call it predictable, so I guess I'd have to vote embarrassing, because if I called it predictable, it would fly in the face of everything I thought they were building toward and everything I have said for months, because I thought they were picking up where they left off last offseason, picking up where they left off in
you
the playoffs.
Took the cheese again, Hart.
So I certainly didn't see it as predictable. The 203 says, I hate it when sports executives use the word creative. It implies there was never a plan B and no confidence. That's a great point. Was there not a plan B? And if plan A was to have a lower offer and less years to Pete Alonso than what the market was dictating, you probably should have had not only a plan B, maybe a C, maybe a D as well. Uh-huh. So the fact that they have to fly back to Boston and get creative is concerning to me. And we had that one caller yesterday that liked the season's over. I forgot how he exactly.
Oh, yeah, he was already done in December before it even turned to 2026.
Is he wrong? Is there reason for people to still feel that
it's
way?
It's embarrassing. I'm distraught right now.
Yeah, embarrassing, and he's distraught. Is he wrong to feel that way when you look at what the – there was a tweet that went out last night that says the Orioles might have the best lineup in baseball now that they added uh-huh. Pete Alonso to the mix of young players and what they already had. That's in your division. And so are the defending AL champions in your division. And I know the Yankees also haven't done anything, but do we really think the Yankees are going to make it through the winter without doing anything?
No, we do not. No, not in any way, shape, or form. You would only guess that if you had not paid attention to the New York Yankees or baseball for the last 50 years.
Right. And they're going to do something. So they're not going to get Alonso. They actually worry me so much, you never know with them. Could they just swoop in and say, "Oh, we didn't get Alonso or Schwarber. Maybe we'll get Kyle Tucker." Like, they could do anything.
We'll just overwhelm the Dodgers offer and get Skubal, and then we'll just go pitch. We'll just go with cuz don't forget they're also going to get the righty. See, old man moment. The righty with the bad forearm who missed all of last year, who Devers owned.
Rendon.
No, he was out with Tommy John last year. Dan Ball, you're young, you're new by
Garrett
fresh.
Cole.
Garrett Cole, thank you, Jesus. Come on, Fitzy.
Oh, that's all you got in the Garrett Cole situation?
No, that's it. They're getting, like, you added Max Fried and Garrett Cole. If you trade for Skubal, look at that. That's a nice 1-2-3 you got right there.
So the text line is not happy, I can tell you. 617-779-7937. Mostly Red Sox, mostly reaction. We have the 603 saying sucky and pathetic. We have the 508 saying they flew back with their collective tails between their legs. Do you think the Red Sox are surprised that they're flying back without a bat?
Yes.
How can they be?
It sounds to me, according to what was published in the Globe yesterday, that Breslow was kind of surprised that whatever offer or offers they floated out there weren't taken. I just want to know, do they believe, or is there some sort of institutional assumption that, hey, we're the Red Sox, so you know, if we make an offer, you're going to want to come play for us. Marquee franchise. We were in the playoffs last year. Roman Anthony. Hey now, come on over.
So like, they
really?
But how can they be surprised when they reportedly didn't make an offer to Schwarber? So, okay, one guy, you didn't even try. You didn't make an offer. Okay, and the other guy, you made an offer that was reportedly much lower in terms of money and years.
Mm-hmm.
If you do those two things,
mm-hmm.
how can you be surprised you didn't land the two biggest bats in free agency?
That's a great question. That is legitimate. It's actually not a great question. It's a great question for our purposes, But it's a bit rhetorical in their capacity because it really doesn't make any sense. Like, yeah, offer less money, offer fewer years in free agency when someone has the top agent, the most money-hungry agent in all four North American major sports. What do you think's going to happen, guys?
So do you believe in this path towards a successful offseason still? Because that's that question that I still struggle with. Like, all these pivot points and these reports, and we'll get into some of those next year on WEEI Afternoons. There's some names out there. We've talked about some of them. Ketel Marte, we've been talking about for a while now. There's some new names, Suarez, as Lou brings up, all these things. And it's like, okay, how old is he? Where does he fit? Are his best years behind him? What does he cost in a trade? Like, all those
clubhouse
are gonna be
guy, good vibes last year. Don't want to upset that
clubhouse. All of those things. Is there still a path to a successful offseason? And I don't say that with, like, you know, the sky is falling negativity. It's a serious question. It, given what's available on the market and what you appear willing to do financially and prospect wise, is there still a path towards a successful offseason?
Yes. Oh. It's just going to take a lot more work, and you're going to have to be willing to get uncomfortable. You could have just gotten uncomfortable one way, and that was with parting with a lot of John Henry and Fenway Sports Group's money. Now you're going to potentially have to get uncomfortable twice, as in parting with Fenway Sports Group's money and parting with players, and major league players and or prospects in your organization to acquire the players you will need to have a successful offseason.
And I also feel like it's going to take, and this is probably not something they would bring into the calculus because I don't think their computers and their models do that, some luck. I think there's going to be need to be some luck for this to be a good offseason for the Boston Red Sox. Doesn't mean it won't happen. I think there was some good fortune and luck. I said it yesterday with the Patriots, right?
Luck vis-a-vis, like, as in?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. That's the thing about luck. I'm not sure exactly how you predict it and expect it, but Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs type luck, or Milton Williams is the perfect fit when you
missing out on Alonzo, but getting but trading for Tatis, and Tatis has career year. Right. Alonzo pulls up lame and make.
Or Ketel Marte arrives and he's like, I didn't hate, you know, I hated my teammates there. Here, I love the city, or whatever. I don't know what
the luck
is.
Give me the Wally head. I want a laundry cart ride. Right. I love this place.
I just feel like there's going to
be at Kowloon.
At this point, you could have bought an offseason, which is a traditional approach. It's also been flawed in years, right? A couple of years ago, the Mets did it, and then they were tearing it down by the trade deadline. So, you know, spending the money isn't a guarantee, but it is a more traditional path to success in the offseason in Major League Baseball. I think they're going to need to, A, get more creative, as they said, which I don't love. They're going to need to get more creative, and they're also probably going to need to get luckier because Pete Alonso averages nearly 40 home runs a year. Like, there's not a lot of luck involved. You're buying a bat that hits 40 home runs. That's what you're actually doing. Whereas now, you're going to be taking on something that has, oh, potential or might fit or could play this position. All right, let's get into some of those names up next, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. Which player or players do you want the Red Sox to pivot to? Is it Bregman plus one? Is Bregman the big bat? Is Bregman the big name that we're counting on them to bring back? And then you're just complementing that with other supplementary pieces. 617-779-7937. Trying to figure out the pivot and the creativity that is Craig Breslow and the Boston Red Sox. That's next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.